Webster says vision is the faculty of sight, the unusual foresight, and the experience of the supernatural as with the eyes. Now, I know that Webster's isn't exactly telling us about a spiritual issue here. But the faculty of sight, the unusual foresight to see ahead, to dream, and the experience of the supernatural, I would say if you take that to a spiritual standpoint, the experience of seeing the wonder of God, you get to see it if you're looking for it. If you're watching for it, to see this experience of God. And within that, the vision that we have, the vision that we see, the vision that started when we started as Blossom Valley Community Church years ago, the vision in my heart to say we are going to replicate, to multiply, to see others come to know Christ. The greatest form of evangelism outside of personal evangelism is the work of the church itself. That was God's vehicle to reach the world. Was after you, it became the church in a corporate way. The ability to see. I think we need to have that vision. The ability to see. Spiritually. Not just, oh yeah, boy, I can see. This morning, it's interesting. Many of you, okay, first off, I haven't been crying, though that's not unlikely for me. I do cry. You guys know that. I'm not upset. Nothing's happening, you know. My eyes have allergies. I mowed the lawn last night as soon as it got a little cool. And so you're looking at my, your eyes are red. You've been crying. And they, what's wrong with you? Really, something's wrong. No, nothing's wrong with me at all, except my eyes are itching. That's the only thing. But I thought about that because especially I woke up this morning, man, my eyes were all fuzzy. They're all, you know, I had stuff. Like, oh, man, you know, I can't see. Sometimes we take advantage, for granted, the ability to see. And I thought about how apropos this morning, as we're talking about the ability to see, I woke up and see right. Even now, I got, you know, I thought my glasses have fog over them. The ability to see, but not just human sight. The ability to see spiritually. The ability to see what God could do. What could be done. Where are we in the scope of what God? Sometimes the ability to see what God's doing around the world right now. We live in this little microcosm right here. We think God, we're kind of egocentric that our own world's right here. God's doing great things around the world. People coming to know Christ, people in the underground church. Yes, people dying for their faith. Amazing to me. I get a weekly prayer list of those who are being persecuted and to pray for those around the world who are being persecuted, names and where they're at and the things that are going on. Being persecuted for their faith. But we need to see the ability of what God can do. We need to see the ability and the ability to see really the priorities of our own life. We harp on that. We talk about that. But sometimes our own priorities are so out of whack and so out of skew, we don't even see the right priorities. We don't see what God sees in that, the priorities of our life. And we think all these other things compete for our time, compete for our space, compete. We need to see the ability to see our own priorities of life and what really is important. We need to see the ability to see change in our lives. The ability to see change. You know what? I realize that some of you have a struggle with this. Not just that we're going to change our pattern of life or change our lifestyle, but some of you do not have the ability to see how God has changed you and the work that he's being done in you and that you're precious to God and that he is changing your heart and he's changing your life. And some people don't have that ability. And sometimes you walk up to somebody and say, man, you've really changed. What? Almost as an offense. I don't like change. Well, you know what? You may not like it, but God's doing it. And we need the ability to see that God is changing us and can change us. We need to have the faith to believe. That's that unusual foresight, that faith to believe. Not just the ability to see, but the faith to believe. Considering God. What is walking by faith? It's considering God. That he is the author. He is the provider. He is the one who meets our attitudes. We can, you know, there's a lot of things people can control. They can't control our attitude, and we need to have the faith to believe that attitude that God can do, that nothing is impossible for God. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the current economic situation says. I don't care what the books say. I don't care what the church growth says. I don't care. We bucked the trend all the way around this church. From the day one, they said it couldn't be done in the way we do what we do, and yet God is blessed consistently. The faith to believe that if it's a vision given by God, that God's going to strengthen us to do it. Not only the ability to see, not only the faith to believe, but the courage to do. The courage to do. You know, there are some people who like to postulate and pontificate and ponder, and they talk about great things. They have all these great plans. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And boy, this is going to be great. We're going to do this, do that, and do this, and do that. And they can talk and talk and talk and talk. And And you say, what's the plan? Oh, it's in process. What's the plan? Oh, it's in process. Some of you who know my counseling, I tell you, if you don't have a plan, you have no process. It's impossible to have a process without a plan. Impossible. So those of you who love that phrase, oh, it's in process. Guess what? There's no process if you don't have a plan to get there. Prayer is part of a plan, but it's not the plan. We have to have the courage to do. We love talking about reaching the world. We love talking about starting a church. We love talking about saying, God, use me. But do we have the courage to do? Do we have the courage to say, God, if it means I need to change, change me? God, do I have the courage to say if it means going to have to sacrifice? I'm willing to sacrifice, whatever it may be. Some of you, the courage to do means risk. I mean, I'm going to risk stepping out and trusting God to stretch me and expand me and to use me in ways that I've never been used and may not feel comfortable. The courage to do. The courage to do. Many of you knew Paul Harvey. You listened to Paul Harvey. I'll never forget the story. In fact, I went back and got it as I was thinking about the courage to do. Because there was a summer morning, he tells the story of a man named Ray Blankenship. You may have heard this. He was preparing his breakfast. He looked out across the meadow that he gazed out, and he saw a small girl being swept in. It was a kind of a rain-swollen river. And he knew that at the end of that river, between their properties, that at the end of that river, there was a culvert that went underground. And he saw this little girl just tumbling end over end. And he looked, and he said, what am I going to do? You know, he says, I've got to get there. And so he goes to the river, and he's looking alongside, and she's going bay, and he knows the culvert's coming. And he just jumps in that culvert. He surfaces and he's able to grab onto this little girl's hand. As he grabs onto this hand, they continue to tumble end over end, heading towards that culvert that he knew was there. And just some feet before the culvert, some distance before the culvert, he reaches out, he's grasping, and he finds a rock, he believes, under the water, and holds onto that rock and says, If I can just hold on until somebody can come and help me. But he did better than that, because by the time help arrived, he was on the bank with the little girl. Both of them were treated for shock. And then on April 12, 1989, Ray Blankenship was awarded the Coast Guard's Silver Life-Saving Medal. You and I would say that medal is pretty selfless and it's deserving, isn't it? Way deserving for somebody who would do that. But Ray Blankenship had the courage to do what most couldn't. You know why? Because Ray Blankenship did not know how to swim. The courage to do. Can I challenge you with a vision that we see and you know our hearts, our staff? The challenge to do. There's a verse that goes like this. Seek and ye shall be surprised. Seek and ye shall be surprised. Is that up there? Do you have that? Seek, and ye shall be surprised. Because on that little verse, you're going to see PBP. That's Pastor Bill's paraphrase. Okay? The ability to see. The ability to see the wonder of God. Does it excite you to step back and anticipate seeing the wonder of God at work? Does it excite you? Does it just boil your blood to say, I'm excited about what God is? We met yesterday as a board. The ability to see what God may do, how he's going to meet the need, how he's going to take care. Seek, and you will be surprised to live in the wonder of knowing the God. But more than that, listen, we can all say, oh, isn't that warm, emotional, fuzzy? Jump in, save the little girl, though I don't know how to swim. Not just saying seeing the wonder of God, but displaying the wonder of God through you and through me. That we will be the vehicles to display the wonder of God. Acts 26:19. I'm not going to tell you the whole story. It's just the verse. So then King Agrippa, Paul is talking to King Agrippa. You can write it down and go read Acts 26. Paul is defending himself before King Agrippa. And he's telling about his conversion experience, how he was assaulted on the road to Damascus by the Spirit of God and told him that you are going to change your life and you're going to be a witness to me and you're going to lead people to Jesus. He who was the king of the persecutors. I mean, he was the greatest persecutor, known as Saul at that time. God said, you're going to change. I'm going to give you a vision. I'm going to do something you don't ever think. No one's going to think it's possible. In fact, those who were believers around him, save one, didn't even think it was going to be happening. They didn't trust him as he changed his life. But I love this verse as I was studying this week. So then King Agrippa, after he explained the vision that God had given him, said, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. And there comes a time that we can have the ability to see. And we can have that faith to believe. But if we're going to have the courage to do, to invest in other young men like Ben, to invest in other people and Brandon and people coming up, to impact our world, we cannot be disobedient. We must be obedient to the vision that God has given us, that God has said we are going to reach people, to love God and make that known. And that's why we're at where we're at. And in the days to come, it's going to start rolling even faster as we look towards the end of this year of planting on the ground. This is the big picture. I want Ben to come. Ben's going to give you the specific picture here. As Ben has changed him, as Ben is spending time in Tracy, as we have been together as a board and a staff. But the reality is seek, and let's be surprised at what God's going to do. Pastor Ben.
Thanks. Sort of continuing with the illustration of getting in the water, I was thinking yesterday as we were out in the pool, when you're getting in the pool at this time of year, it gets warm quickly and your pool is not quite heated up. And so you're kind of standing on the ledge like this, just waiting. I'm going to get in the water. I'm going to get in. And you're trying to get that courage up because you know it's going to be really cold and you're going to have to do a few laps to warm up. And I kind of feel like we're at this point in the game where we're kind of peering into the water, into what God has prepared for us. And we're saying, we're getting in. We're getting in very soon. I'm excited about what God's doing, not just for the church in Tracy, which is going to start up January 6th of 2013, but I'm excited about what God's doing in my heart and in the hearts of other people that I come in contact with. And January 30th, Pastor Bill and I came up with a list of people. We came up with a list of people we thought God may be preparing to be part of a group who is going to meet in Tracy as Grace Community Church of Tracy. We listed 36 folks on that list. In March of this year, we asked all of you to be praying about possibly being a part of that group in Tracy. You guys may remember that taking place all through the month of March. And through May, we asked that each of you would fill out some information that at the bottom said, hey, check one. Okay, not do you love me, yes or no, but check one. Don't you love that country song? That's right. We've got to play a country song up here soon, band. Come on. Anyways. Yeah, we can. And Tracy, we're playing country. Doggone it. Now, the water's looking colder now. The water is getting colder. No, come on. We asked people to check one of those boxes. See yourself being a part of the church in Tracy, here in Lathrop, or the other box was wherever God may use us. Out of those 36 people that we listed on that list and prayed through, 32 of them stated that they sense God urging them to be a part of that church or are willing to be used wherever. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Pretty amazing. In addition to those 32 people, we have 10 other folks who sense God urging them to be a part of Tracy. All right? If you want hard numbers, that's 42 people, 42 adults who have stated their desire to be a part of Grace Tracy. Factoring in 21 students or kids from nursery age all the way up to college, or excuse me, to high school, that's 63 total people. Pretty amazing, huh? And as I look at the list of those 42 folks and the kids that are on there, I am humbled. Humbled that I have the opportunity to work alongside each of those people for the sake of Christ. And I say to work alongside, because we are going to be doing the work of Christ together. Now, let me let you know, coming up in July, July 1st is going to be our first meeting with those group of people. We're going to meet after second service. So if you have your calendars or your smartphones, and I know you do, I've heard them go out the last few weeks, okay? Grab them and write on them July 1st, right after second service. We are going to be meeting here. And we're going to talk about some things. And I just don't want, not just you 42, but I know there are some other of you, some other folks who are praying about whether God may be having them be a part of that group still. If you're still interested in that, come and be a part of it. Even if you sense God having you here in Lathrop, come and be a part of it. We're going to be talking about a couple things. Number one, we're going to look at the biblical foundation for planting a church. What does God's word say about that? And secondly, we're going to look at what's the cost for you. And I just don't mean monetary cost. I mean the life cost. which includes everything. What is it going to cost us? All right, that's what we're going to look at July 1st. All right, another big question that people have is, hey, do you guys got a place? Where are you guys going to be meeting? All right, this is where the water gets extremely cold. No, we don't. Are there places we can meet? You bet. We can meet in schools. We've located different schools that are around the area. There are other facilities that we can meet in. But plain and simple, we have not found the place that has God's thumbprint on it. And we are praying and we are looking for that place. I bring that up to you today because, you know what? Pray about it with us. And then as you start hearing God move in your heart, or maybe you start hearing from other people possibilities, you know, cash in. Hunt those things down. Be praying with us as we look for God's place as we're going to meet over there. All right? I don't have to be the one who finds it. Man, some days I'm like, God, I'm going to find it today. And I'll drive over there in my truck and I'm like, is that it? Is that it? Is that it? You know, oh no, there's a car. Slow down. It doesn't have to be me. I just want God to reveal that place to us. You know, am I overwhelmed by it? No, I'm not. Do I fret about where we're going to meet? Yeah, I do. There's some days I wake up and I'm like, where am I going to go? But you know what? God always reminds me, whether it be through him, through his word, or through people, hey, we have a place lined out for you. It's going to come. Lastly, I'd like to let you know some of the other needs that we have for Tracy, which is going to be January 6th. And these will become more apparent as the time approaches. But I just want to let you know, so you can be praying for these, so that you can have your ear out, your eyes out, as we look towards January taking place. Number one, obviously the place. It's pretty important. Secondly, sound equipment. And I know sound equipment can vary from place to place and where you're going to be, but you know what? Just keep your eyes and ears out for those things. Projectors, computers, media equipment. And again, you guys are saying, Ben, I need to know the size of the location. You know, what's the square footage of the area? Sometimes God lets us gather the materials first. And then he supplies us with the place. And I know that to be true because that's what God's done with the church that's taking place in Tracy. The material is supplied, and that's the people, believers who trust Christ. God's gonna give us the church building one day, okay? But sometimes we just need to keep our eyes and ears out for those things. We're looking for a trailer for moving and for storage. We're looking for a piano. I told Glenna on March 13th at our house, we're going to pray for a piano to replace this one. We're not taking that one with us. I'm excited that Glenna is going to be a part of our ministry team. Much of who we are today as Grace Community Church is because of Glenna and her involvement and her leadership with the band that's on here on stage. The band that you see is who they are, obviously, number one, because of the Lord, but secondly, because of Glenna and her involvement in their life. And so we're blessed to have that. But we're praying that God provides us a piano down there. So anything, you know, that's kind of some of the needs, and they'll become more apparent as time goes on. But that's kind of what God is doing right now. Keep praying for us. When people ask, how are things going in Tracy? You know, how's it going? You can tell them it's going great. Why can you tell them that? Because Tracy, Grace Community Church in Tracy is right here. It's right here. God is moving in the hearts of people, in your hearts. And that's where the ministry begins, is in your hearts first. And then God will allow us to see that outwork and become more apparent as the days and as the months come by. And we'll just be watching as God amazes us as he always does. Pastor Bill.
Some of you who started here, I know as Ben was speaking there just now about talking about need for a trailer, you probably shuddered. Remember our trailer and remember our moves in and our moves out. What makes me shudder is, man, I'm thankful God's given Ben a vision for a trailer, and I'm not going to Tracy to try to move it in and out every week or wherever that's going to be for the piano. You guys just heave-ho. Go for it right there. No, God's going to provide. We talk about vision. We talk about that. Man, it's already... understand, administration has already been set. Board situations have already been arranged. Leadership has already been met with. Life groups have already been arranged. Scheduling has already been taking place. There's a lot behind the scenes that has already taken place. And now it's time for us to say, okay, God, it needs to be people promotion. It needs to be about us. We need to call the body together to pray. I was recently sent from one of our people here a devotional, and I appreciate getting. Some of them are great. Some of them I look and say, okay, thank you. But this one was just, at the time, it was just great. It was by Mark Batterson, who's a pastor. And people came to him and said, we really want to talk to you about church government. Now, understand, if most of you came and said, Pastor Bill, we want to talk to you about church government, I'm probably not going to be like, oh, praise Jesus, let's go spend time together. Church government? But he did. And Mark Batterson went and he met with this couple, not really sure, and they asked questions. And he talked with them for about 90 minutes of just church government. Okay. Then they said, but what's your vision? And man, all of a sudden, now we're talking. He started sharing with them the goal of the church and to start another church and a mission program that they had designed and the homeless issues. And they were sharing all of the different things. And he was just getting on a roll. And all of a sudden they said, okay, we've had enough. We're done. And they were done. They left. About 3 weeks later, they come to him and say, Pastor Mark, we want to make a gift to the church. And the reason we want to make that gift, there was a phrase that they used. It may have just rang in my bell. The reason we want to make the gift is because you have vision beyond your resources. Vision beyond our resources. And with that, they dropped a $3+ million gift on his desk. Any of you are welcome to do that. Thank you, Jesus. Can I get a witness? And whoever witnesses better have $3 million in their pocket. No. The point being, it hit me, is that we've got to have vision beyond our resources. Faith is allowing vision to determine our budget. That's faith. Death to me is allowing budget and economics uncertainty to determine your vision. That's death. People will often ask me, some of you have asked me, some of you have asked Ben, well, you don't have a place yet. Should you be thinking about starting a church until you have a place? Do you have the money for this? Like, you know how much it's going to cost? How are you going to do this? People will then say, you know, the Bible says to count the cost. Well, let me give you another Pastor Bill's paraphrase. I want to count the cost. But you got to know, and those of you who know me know that when I count the cost, the way I view that is, how much am I going to be seeking for God to surprise me with? I want to know what it's going to cost, but it doesn't mean I have it in the bank. I want to know what the expectations are that we got to make take. But I want to know that God's going to provide. And I want to trust God to do that. So God, yeah, we need to trust God for a trailer, for a piano, for resources, for a place. But we're not waiting for any of that. We're going to see it as God provides, and we're going to go. One of the changes that is going to take us vision beyond our resources, and God knew what we needed long before we did. We've seen that as an original board, some of the guys who started this church. We've seen God move in ways we never thought. We thought we'd see where God needed to go, but we didn't. God surprised us. But a number of years ago, a young man came to this church, has come to know Christ, has grown, has become a part of us, and we as a staff and a board have seen God's heart within him. And so part of the vision beyond our resources, where it means that perhaps you're going to have to sacrifice as well, is that starting July 1st, Paul Pelizzari and his wife will be on our staff full-time as associate pastor of Grace Community Church. Paul and I, yeah, it's absolutely. Paul, come on up here. Paul, I don't know where, there you go. And though no means, we believe, because in this process of us birthing a church, the way it's going to be is that from a leadership, a lot of the band is already, Glenna's done wonderful with that replication. Glenna and Rich and Ben and Amy will be the leadership team in Tracy. Paul and Jan and I will be the leadership team here as we continue here in Lathrop. I'm excited for Jen and Paul. I got to just tell you, I'm excited. Our staff is excited. And we've seen what God's done in your life, and we see that, and to affirm that, and across the board to affirm that. So briefly, just share, as we've been praying about this and talking about this, just briefly share what God has put on your heart, and yeah, try it.
Okay. Is it on?
It's
okay.
On.
when he told me, I was shocked. I'm amazed. I'm so excited. I'm humbled. We've been talking over the past couple of months, and I'm like, I feel like I'm a racehorse in the gate. I'm like, come on, let me out, let me out. And he's like, not yet. I look back at my life and the way God has just done things in my life, even before I knew him. Playing in the rock band for 12 years, having a failed business that taught me how to public speak, gave me skills that I need for where I'm at right now. And even though I was rejecting God at that point, he was saying, no, son, no, I'm going to use you. Hold on. This is for you. This is for me, but I'm going to give you this stuff. And then when I got here and started playing and accepted Christ, and my prayers then are so much different than my prayers now. My prayers then were, God, I need. God, give me. Help me. God, I need. To the past year, it's just been, God, I just want to do what you want me to do. Whatever that is, wherever that takes me, I just want to be used in a great way by you. And when I first got here, the leadership team here saw things in me that I didn't see in myself. Glenn was like, you're going to sing. And I'm like, I don't know how to sing. And then she's like, well, vowels and I still really don't understand that. But
we're still working on some of those.
Yeah. Glory, hole. I know, I'm weird like that. You're going to sing. Wow, okay. And then I remember praying to God going, God, I can't do this. You're going to lead worship for youth, and you're going to lead worship up here. I can't do this. And he was like, I know you can't, but I can. And then 2 years ago, Pastor Bill came and asked me to run the youth group. My first inclination was no, because I can't do that. I'm not equipped to do that. And I prayed about it, and God said the same thing. I know you can't, but I can. Will you trust me? And I said, yes. And then now this, and when he came and said this to me, I was excited. I was like, yes! And then I came out here and I was like, oh! I thought I was going to have a heart attack. But I've been praying about it, and I journal a lot. And I read back on my journal, it was like anxiousness, nervousness. But it was the same thing. I was like, God, I can't do this. I can't. And he said, I know you can't, but will you trust me? And that's my heart. From where I've gone to where I am now to where I'm going, it's I just want to do what he wants me to do. And if that means getting out of my box, if that means being stretched, if that means doing anything, whatever it takes, I'm ready to do that.
Ben, Glenn, would you guys come up here? Just, we want you to see that you need to be, obviously, we have vision beyond our resources, and that doesn't scare us. It excites us. We desire to seek what God is going to do and to live in amazement of it. I will tell you that as a pastor standing here a number of years later for Blossom Valley Community Church, and we've had others as well that have come through this. I'm blessed to have worked with Glenna for so many years. Blessed beyond belief. As a pastor, you folks probably don't understand that, but I do fully. And to see Ben come on here, guys, and those of you who have watched Ben over the years, you know this young man is ready. God has touched him, and he's ready to go. And it excites me to see Paul as we watched him. It excites me to see guys that in the next 3 years, a newsflash, because in the 2016, Pastor Bill wants to do another church. So just hang on, because we're going to do one in 13. I want to do it again in 16. So that means that we have to replicate a whole other group, doesn't it, guys? That means you guys over there are going to be replicating a whole group of people there. Those 40 people and 60 kids, 60 together with kids, are going to replicate into a multiple. But the bottom line is we want to reach people. We want to impact the kingdom of God. I just want you to pray for us as we do that. Pray for the board. Pray for those. And then ask yourself, am I part of the resources? Am I part of the resources that God is going to use?